الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الانجلين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرأ الى الله اللهم صل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah and an increase in the level of awareness. There was a question from one of the youth today regarding the topic that we had yesterday, and they said that when we say, or when it was mentioned yesterday, that when Prophet Adam was ousted from the paradise, and then when he pleads and he repents, he says that God, the teaching to him, the instructions to him are that, says, bihaqqi Muhammad, that is, by Muhammad, or says that by Ali, by Fatima, by Hassan, and by. Then why do you say that by? What is the reason behind it? Now, just to explain this in easier words, now, we have a concept of mediation, that is shafa'at, and that is to put weight in the performance. Many a times when we want to have a task done and we cannot get it properly, we seek assistance from someone who has weight, who can put weight in it. Or for example, if the cops, they want to stop you, if they just say stop people, they might not stop. They say in the name of law, stop, to put some weight in that command, in that instruction. The same way over here, to put weight in that command, or to put weight in that pledge, in that dua, in that repentance, we ask Allah to mediate, to help by the presence of Ahlul Bayt, so that this pledge of ours, this wish of ours, it elevates and it ascends. That is the reason we are said that if you have a hajat and you want that to be accepted before Allah, recite three salawats before it, recite three salawats after it, and present it before Allah. So when that is the case, when he sees that a package has arrived and it has been covered and enveloped with a salutation, and salutation upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, it's among those du'as that are never denied, that are never declined in the presence of Allah. Again, to understand this in better and easier words, Prophet Yusuf was in the prison. And then when he had wishes to be granted, his hajat, his pledges to be granted, he says to Allah that God, by my father Ya'qub, accept this pledge of mine. Immediately wahi is revealed to Prophet Yusuf. He says that, what has your father done? I gave him 11 sons. One of them went missing. You are that one. You are alive. He stood, wherever he went, he cried, he pleaded, and he lost his sight. So why do you say that by your father Ya'qub? The instructions to Prophet Yusuf are the same. Say that if you have a pledge, if you have a haja, say, bihaqq Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That is, by Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, ask Allah for that hajat, that pledge to be accepted and it will be accepted and granted. So mediation, shafa'at, or when we use the term by, or when we swear by the existence of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, it's to put weight in it, and that is the teaching, that those are the instructions. That was the instruction to Prophet Adam, and the same to Prophet Yusuf, and the same to all of us. That was one. And again, coming back to our topic, it is the associates of Imam Al-Asr, ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Yesterday, by the grace of Allah, we recited the birth certificate of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn that was issued by the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, delivered through Jibreel to Rasulullah to be given to Hazrat Zahra. And this birth certificate was recited by a trustworthy servant of Ahlul Bayt, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who copied it. And again, this was reaffirmed by our sixth imam, by the fifth imam. And in that certificate that was issued by Allah Jalla Wa'ala, upon the birth of Aba Abdullah, Allah, he mentions what greatness which Aba Abdullah possesses, and the chain of guidance and imams who would continue after Aba Abdullah. And again, in that birth certificate, it was mentioned, when it came to the sixth imam, and the associates of the sixth imam said that Allah will please the sixth imam through his associates, through his shias, through his friends. But when it came to the 12th imam, and the followers of the 12th imam said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, that the associates, the friends of the 12th imam are the friends of Allah. He says that they are my friends, they are my associates. And again, the whole idea is that we come to a point that we become friends and associates of the 12th Imam. And for that, a few steps will be mentioned. Yesterday, it was mentioned that Imam, he has associates in four ranks. The first are the Awtar, the Abdal, then comes the Rijal al-Ghayb and the Nuqaba. And each one of them has 4, 7, 40 and 360 members. And again, it was mentioned that if you look into the du'as that we have for the month of Rajab, we find this definition present over there. It says that Allahumma salli ala al-abdali wal-awtad, O Allah, send your salutations upon the abdal and the awtad, who are the immediate associates of the 12th Imam. And again, it was mentioned that the two easy steps to become the associate of the 12th Imam, one is through Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, and the second one is through Hazrat Zahra, salamullahi alayha. So these are the two easy steps. And again, if you look into the seerah of Ma'asumin, they also practice the same thing. For example, in a hadith from our fifth Imam, he says that whenever Ahlul Bayt, they used to fell ill, or when they had fever, they used to dip their hands in cold water, and that hand was put onto the forehead of the person who was afflicted with fever, and they used to say, Ya Ummah, that my mother Fatima Zahra, and that is seeking assistance through her, and that is to get that shifa through. Even when they were afflicted or when they were in problems, they sought assistance through her. Or those who have those visions, who can see by way of makashifa or whatever Allah has blessed them with, they say that a majlis that is held wherein Hazrat Zahra is remembered, in that majlis Hazrat Amir attends with his two sons. And he looks at each one present in that majlis, and if one of those sights of the Imam was on us, that would suffice for us for this dunya, barzakh, and our qiyamah. So, these are the two paths before us, the easiest access for us to become the associates and the friends of the 12th Imam. The rank of his friends and his helpers, it was mentioned. Now, the types of mahabbat that are present, the urafa, our ulama, they say that there are two parts present before us should we want to become a friend and an associate of the imam. One of them is by way of suluk, the other one is by way of jazba. Now, suluk, it's a slow and a gradual process, bit by bit. Maybe after 30, 40, 50 years, a person comes to a point where he becomes the friend of the imam. The second one is by way of jazba. Jazba, in suluk, you have to walk. In jazba, you are carried away, you are taken. Suluk is a slow process. Jazba, it's a fast track, it's a drive-through. If you look into Quran, Prophet Musa, he was asked to come to Mount Tur. That is a slow and a gradual process. But when it talks about Rasulullah, says Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, that the Prophet, he was taken. The blink of an eye, he was taken to his destination. So these are the two paths. Sometimes it's a slow process to get to the destination, and sometimes it is that tough, it's that fast track, and that the drive through. Now, to understand that jazba, now these opportunities, they do knock the door of each one of us, but we have to be lucky enough to get hold of them. And the definition they give for this jazba is that if in a dark place where you can hardly see your hand, if a light flashes for a moment, you see everything evident around you, that's surrounding you, that is jazba. That, and for that jazba to happen, to come into existence, certain things have to exist in us. Among those things is the aza of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, mourning for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, services to humanity, services to the fellow mu'mineen, and in particular, services to Sadat. So this jazba, it is that striking of that lightning in one's heart. As a result of that, he leaps and he gets to his destination quick. If you look into dua adila, it is the dua to be recited by the bedside of a person who is giving away his life. There, when it comes to Imam al-Asr, says that وَبِوُجُودِهِ ثَبَتَتِ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَى وَبِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَى, that it is by the presence of the 12th Imam, the earth and the sky, they are firm. They are intact, they are in place. And continues saying that بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَى, that it is through the Imam, the creation, their sustenance is provided. That is as if Imam is the distribution center for everyone, for every human, for every animal, for the creation, all of them. He is the distribution center. Or when we recite in Laylatul Qadr, we say that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, that the angels, they descend. وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, ruh, it is the spirit, much greater than the angels. Where do they descend? Where do they land? Now for birds, they land on this earth. Planes, they have to have a runway to land. Now where do these angels land? The angels, they land on pure hearts, and the pure heart of the 12th Imam. So this ayah, again, it is a proof that Waliyullah, he is present even today. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, that the angels, they descend even today on the pure heart of Imam al-Asr. So that is the landing place wherein the angels, they descend. Now, when do they descend? What time is that? The reports, they say that the best time for you to have a bond with the 12th Imam, it's in the morning. That is, when the Imam is in his full spiritual force, meaning that the angels, the spirit, they land at that time. But it doesn't mean it's only that time after that, no, the doors are closed. No. وَرَاللَّهُ لَيْسَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ سَبَاحٌ وَلَا مَسَاءٌ. For Allah, no morning, no night, no dawn, no dusk. The time, it's all one time. But that is the time when the connection between the Imam and the Almighty, it's in full force. And when we are asked to get connected to Allah at that time, it's because we can benefit more at that time. Now, to understand this in easier words, Marhum Tayyib, known as Haji Rizai, he is among the gangsters who lived during the early days of the revolution. Now, the beauty of this person is that although he had a bitter past, but the love for Abu Abdullah and Hussein which he possessed was amazing. All the services which he provided to people, although he was a bad person, he had a bitter past, but he had those beautiful things in him. And if those things are present in us, they help us in getting carried away, or in that jazba that was mentioned earlier, that if just an opportunity is given, if the flash lights once, you will get to your destination quick. So he, among the beauties which he had, was that he had that love for Abu Abdullah and the majalis that were held for Abu Abdullah. Once he sees that a Sayyid, he is sitting in the streets with a green turban, he tells to his fellow gangsters that go and ask him why is he sitting in the streets. The Sayyid, he says that I have been evicted by my landlord and I have no place to go. He instructs his fellow associates, gangsters, to go and take that Sayyid in a van and to a destination. Now the Sayyid, he is scared that where is he being taken by these people and why all of his possessions have been put in the van. He comes to a house, a brand new house, opens the door, puts all the possessions and the belongings of this Sayyid in his house, in that new house, comes straight to the registry office and says that this house be transferred to that Sayyid, the title deed. And then says to him, you saw that this house, I built it for myself. I haven't moved in. I give it to you, but tell your mother Zahra that in the heavens, make one for me. Beauty which he possesses, services which he does to the fellow people. Now this person with that bitter past, after the revolution, he has a movement and joins Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. And there, he was again, in the early days of the revolution, he was taken by the secret services, by Savak, and was made to give a statement that he was paid by the Imam to join the movement. He says, why should I lie? If I joined the movement, it was not for him, for his grandfather. That is that bond, that is that love, all those little beauties which were present in that person, which elevated his position, and he also sought martyrdom in those days. So that is the beauty that is in an individual. If that is there, and the faintest opportunities are given, a person gets carried away and gets to his destination quicker. So Imam is there and he is the distribution center, and Tayyib, he sought his goal, his destination, and as a result of that love which he has for Abu Abdullah and for his mother. Now, if you look into the riwayat, says that ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha, that I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate. Now what about today? Today that door is Imam al-Asr. You recited today in Dua Nudba, Aina Babu Allah Allati Minhu Yu'ta. Where is that door through which we have to come? That door today is Imam al-Asr. Whatsoever we want, it has to be through him. And there are a few ways to become a friend of the Imam. There's a book called Mikyal al-Makarim over there, mentions 80 different ways to become a friend of the Imam. Among them is giving a sadaqah on behalf of the Imam. Among them is praying for the Imam, du'as for the Imam, ziyarat for the Imam, or sometimes performing some good deeds on behalf of the Imam. With these little attachments that we have for the Imam, as a result of that, that bonding between us and the Imam increases, and a time comes when separation from the Imam, it becomes tough. Now, to understand this again, in easier words, there is a hadith which says that in the dhikr salihin tanzilur rahmah, that when you talk about salihin, the pious people, the mercy of Allah descends upon you. And the reason for that is, when you talk about the pious people, we get carried away by their good performance and we try to resemble them as much as it is possible. Now, among these pious people is Sayyid Kareem Mahmoodi Tehrani, known as Kaffash. He was a cobbler, lived in Tehran about 70 years ago. Now, the beauty of this person is that he is so close to the Imam that it is said that at least once in a week, he witnessed the presence of the Imam. How was that? And when he was asked that, what did you do that you came so close to the Imam? In reply, he says that, once I had a dream. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And I said to him, what can I do so that I see the Imam? I visit the Imam. And in reply, Rasulullah, he says that twice a day, in the morning and in the night, cry for my grandson Hussein. Cry upon Hussein and you will get access to him. And he said that I perform this duty, and that is crying on Abu Abdullah and Hussein, for one whole year, and upon the completion of that 1 year, I found that I had sought access to Imam al-Asr. And now this is something which we see in Ziyaratul Nahiyatul Muqaddasa. There, Imam says, فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that because of this tragedy that has unfolded upon you, the afflictions that you have seen, I cry morning and night, not tears, but drops of blood. So that is a teaching that is taught to us by the Imam. Over here, Rasulullah says that to my home Kaffash, and as a result of that teaching, crying upon Abu Abdullah twice a day for a year, he gets access to Imam Allah. Now, why don't we get that access? Again, it is said in Farsi that Gyar Gyada Kahil Buat Taksir Sahib Khane Chis. And that is, if the beggar, he doesn't know how to beg, then what is the fault of the person who wants to give? We don't know how to ask. We don't know how to approach. We don't know what the pain we are afflicted with. So we don't know what the cure is. A person has to first understand that he is in need of the Imam. And when he finds that he is in need, that need turns into a requirement, a love, a devotion, a bond, and then separation becomes tough. And again, in the same conversation between Marhum Kaffash and the 12th Imam, Imam says that, what will you do if you don't see me? He says, I will die. Imam in reply says, that is the reason why I see you. So that is a two-way bond, a two-way friendship from both the sides. Now, when a person comes close to the Imam, it is not as such that it is only him which who bonds with the Imam. Over there again, the bonding is from the other side as well. Again, once Marhum Kaffash, he was in the Haram of Abdul Azim. There he says that Imam comes to him. Says that, Kaffash, shall we go to the shrine of my grandfather Imam Rida? He says yes. So Imam comes to his associate, to his friend, proposes that shall we go to the ziyarat? He accepts. Says, in a blink of an eye we were in Mashhad. So the two travel there. And then says that shall we now go to the grave of Marhum Abdul Karim Lahidi? Now he again, he's among the associates of Imam who had just recently passed away. Imam coming to the grave of one of his friends who loved the Imam so long as he was alive. So the two, that is Marhum Kaffash, with the Imam, come to the grave of Marhum Lahiji in the south of Tehran. And there, because it is Imam al-Asr who has come to pay a visit to that person, that Marhum Lahiji, he comes out from Barzakh to welcome the Imam. So Imam there he complains to Marhum Kaffash that Sheikh Murtaza Zahid, he is among the associates of Marhum Lahiji, says that since the day I have died, he hasn't come to pay a visit to me to my grave. And Imam in reply says that I am representing that Sheikh, and the reason for him not coming to your grave is that because he is ill. Now someone who has been a friend of the Imam, Imam represents his friend. Now Imam al-Asr, بِيُمِّهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ, is the distribution center. It's that whole soul authority. He is representing someone who has served him. And then Imam says to Marhum Kaffash that this person, that is Marhum Lahiji, is among those people who never has hurt me throughout his lifetime, hasn't done anything which has displeased me. So it is a great opportunity or a great inayat, becoming a friend of an Imam, and then Imam also has that reciprocal attitude towards us. Again, there is a beautiful hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Says that when you get ill, it's me who is in pain. Or when you fell, I say, ouch. That is, the relationship between Ahlul Bayt and Mu'mineen is so close and so near that when we are in grief, they cry for us. When we are in pain, they pray for us. So much close. And the closer a person is to them, the closer they become. They come to us. Again, one of the present Maraja, he says that there is a program. If someone observes it, he can get access to many of these things that are unseen. Now, scientifically, it is possible that every incident that has taken place in this grand creation of Allah, if that software is provided to us, we can get access to whatever has unfolded. Among them is that if that program is observed, says that even the clip of the day of Ashura can be seen by that person. If that software is there, he can download it and he can look it for himself exactly what has happened on that day of Ashura. So there are various methods which we are not going to talk about over here. So becoming a friend of the Imam is that mighty achievement. Now, how do we have access to the Imam? There are a few ways, inshallah. I'll mention three of them today and the fourth, inshallah, tomorrow. And that is, one of them is by way of dream, that a person has a dream, he sees the Imam, and that again, it's a great blessing, it's a great achievement that a person sees the Imam, and whenever he sees Ma'asum in his dreams, that dream is a true dream. As the riwayat says that man ra'ani faqad ra'ani fa inna shaytan la yatamathalu bi, that whosoever has seen me has seen me. Shaytan, he can never take the form of us. The second one is by way of mukashafa. Mukashafa is that vision which a person sees. It is as if he sees a dream, but he is awake. He is seeing, he witnesses the presence of the Imam, but he is awake. Now, how is this possible? To understand this again, I'll give you an example, and that is, sometimes a person, he sees things while he is awake, and he himself is not totally aware. A mukashafa is a vision. In 1987, marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Gulpaygani, he was ill. And the doctors in Qom, they said that he has duodenal cancer. Now, to get a second opinion, he was transferred to Tehran. Again, the doctors over there say that it's the same duodenal cancer. And to get treated and operated, he was transferred to London to the Cromwell Hospital. Now, over there, when he is transferred, he cannot move, he cannot sit, he cannot lie, he cannot eat due to that severe pain which he has. And there comes to the hospital. And in the morning, he is to undergo the operation. Now, the doctor who is accompanying him, he says that I went, I saw him, and I was in constant contact with him till the morning. And then in the morning, when I go to see him, he says, how are you? He says, Alhamdulillah. As if he was relaxed and that pain is not there anymore. And then he says to the doctor that tell the team over here that if they want to do some more tests, they can do as an operation is not required anymore. Now he says that I knew that there has something that has happened over here which is extraordinary, but I wanted to see what exactly it is. And he says, in just one sentence, marhum Ayatullah Gulpaygani says that Agha, he has granted shifa to me. Now this is something which unfolds in London. Another person in Qom, he says that when they returned to Qom, he says, I called the doctor that I wanted to see you, marhum Zahid. And he comes to him, says that, I just want you to certify what I am going to say now. He says, yes. He says, I saw that people, as it was the habit over there, they all requested for du'as for him, for his shifa. And as a duty, I too was praying for his shifa, and all of a sudden, a vision opens before me. And I see that marhum Ayatullah Gulpaygani, he is in the hospital, he is standing with due respect in front of Imam al-Azim. And he is requesting shifa from him. And Imam in reply says that Allah has granted shifa to you. Now someone sitting in Qom 7,000 miles away from London, he sees, this is mukashafa. That is, he sees things which are not present over there. So that is another way how a person can get to the Imam. That is by way of dreams, by way of mukashifa. And again, lucky that pain whose cure is you, that is the Imam. And lucky that path whose end is you. Lucky that eye which sees you. And lucky that kingdom whose ruler is you. And lucky that heart who's comforted by you. Again, there is a fourth way, and that is a person, he witnesses the presence of the Imam, but in that state, when he is in the presence of his Imam, he is not in his total senses. And inshallah, this one I will elaborate inshallah tomorrow. Tonight, when the caravan of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, they come to Karbala, Imam, he picks up the soil, and there he says that, what is the name of this land? Now, he was said that this is Karbala. Different names were said for that place. And then when he was said that this is Karbala, he says that this is the place where we have to settle down. And at that moment, a messenger comes from Ibn Ziyad, and there the message to Hur is that Faja'a bil Husayn, that you have to be tough, you have to be severe upon Husayn. And then that Husayn, he must not sit down in a place with any green, but a place where there is no green and where there is no water. Imam's intentions were that when he settles down in a place nearby a village, so that after him the household, they have someone. Imam, he settles down and then invites the companion, says them to come without their dependents. And when each one of them is present over there, Imam says that, I'd like to tell you what the consequences of this battle of mine is going to be. If you are for a worldly gain or a fame, then know that there is no fame, there is no gain, there is no victory as such. But that what is certain is that we will all be killed. Imam says, now, for the Imam over here, two allegiances are required. That is an allegiance from, he says that allegiance which is my right, I will take that allegiance away. If you want to leave, leave. Now great supporters Imam has, wonderful people. Each one of us, of them stands up and says that, one of them says that, Imam, you want us to leave? Impossible. If we were sliced into 1,000 pieces, and we're brought back to life 1,000 times, and again granted death in the most wretched way, yet we will stay with you. Zuhair, who had recently joined Imam. Now who is this Zuhair? He's someone regarding whom the Prophet had said that when he was yet a toddler playing with Abu Abdullah and Hussein, he picked up the soil from under the feet of Abu Abdullah and kissed it. Rasulullah said that he will be among the supporters and among the associates of Abu Abdullah. He says, we won't leave you, we are with you. Another Sahabi, he was notified and informed that his son has been arrested to go and release him. Imam was informed that someone is giving him a message. Imam says, now come on, go and release your son. He says, you want me to go and release my son and get myself arrested for myself? I will not leave you. I am with you. I will stay with you. Imam, the ashab which he possesses are ashab which no prophet ever had. Ashab which no imam ever had. 71 great and second to none. This come and they settle in Karbala. That is how they arrive. But how do they depart? Everyone perishes, and the departure is the departure of a caravan of women and children. When Abu Abdullah is born, Rasulullah takes the baby, and the scenario is different. Normally when someone is born, the environment is happy, everyone is happy. They take the baby, they kiss the baby. Over here, Rasulullah cries. He hugs the baby, kisses the neck, kisses the chest, and says, when he was inquired that, why do you kiss the neck? Why do you kiss the chest? Says, أُقَبِّلُ مَوْضَعَ السُّيُوبِ, that I kiss this chest of his, because that is going to be the landing place of all those spears and all those swords. Again, in the last moments of Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, she calls her daughter, Zainab, and says, Zainab, this is the shirt that belongs to my son Hussein. Keep it with you. The day he asks for that shirt, know that that is the day which is going to be the day of separation between you and him. A request I have from you, Zain. She says, what is that? Says that when you give this shirt to my son Hussein, I want you to kiss his neck on my behalf. And then on the day of Ashura, when that tragedy unfolds, and Imam Abdullah Hussein collapses and he is beheaded by that mal'oon, Zainab, she comes, she kisses the neck of Aba Abdullah and says, addressing her mother, "Mother, you wanted me to kiss the neck of my brother? And more than that, I've kissed the jugular vein of my brother." Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma aghfir lana wal-walidayna. ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد ما تم حسين